In recent years, scientists have been astounded to learn how far large animals like elk, pronghorn, and mule deer migrate in Wyoming. A new show at the National Museum of Wildlife Art in Jackson looks into the paths of a number of species. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards sat down with painter and writer James Prozek, who published his first nature art book, Trout, an Illustrated History, when he was only 19 years old.
My dad always said you could learn anything at the local library. So I, you know, would go to the library and look for a book on the trout of North America. It's similar to a field guide or Audubon's book of the birds of North America, and I couldn't find one, so I think it was around 10 or 11 years old, I thought, well, I'll put together the book on the trout of North America. So it was kind of like a mission.
So are some of the paintings that are in your book, are they from when you were that young?
No, but I certainly started painting them at that age and then kept repainting them and as I learned more about them. And I would say, yeah, the final group of paintings I made when I was probably 17 years old or something, or 18, in the midst of trying to put this, what I wanted to one day become a book, I sort of lost faith in the reliability of that model and in language in general to describe the natural world. And the fundamental problem that I didn't know was the problem at the time is that all these fish evolved from each other on a continuum.
So some of those lines, delineating this species from another, are just arbitrary.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hesitate to use the word arbitrary, but I think it's a good word to use. And Darwin actually even used it in The Origin of Species. He said that he thought that species were arbitrary terms for convenience, and I think that's like a direct quote. He knew that it was a slippery concept. It's a necessary concept because we need to have a unit of biodiversity to talk about.
And that seems like, where this show comes in, where, it's not just those neat and tidy categories, but it's also actual boundaries on the physical landscape. From the point of view of the species, there aren't these clear boundaries either.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason I became interested in the themes of this exhibition or was part of its development was because my sort of inquiry into how we try to use language to bring order to nature or start with lines that we draw in our minds and impose on the landscape and draw on maps that the animals can't necessarily see, but we put there, like the boundary around Yellowstone National Park. And when an animal crosses that line, its sort of fate can be determined by what side of the line it's on. An elk inside a Yellowstone National Park can be protected as a tourist attraction, and on the other side it can be shot as a trophy.
What are some of the ways in which you're exploring other species that maybe we don't think of as migrating in and out?
Yeah, there's three people who involved in the exhibition. Arthur Middleton, who's an ecologist who works in the greater Yellowstone, and he's studied a lot of about elk migration and elk-wolf interactions. And Joe Reese has been working to try to photograph some of these migrations of primarily elk, pronghorn, and mule deer. And so I thought one of my contributions to the exhibition could be to illuminate some of the other creatures that move in and out of the what we call the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem. And so this could be everything from Western tanagers that spend the winter in Central America or Mexico, or army cutworm moths that spend, are in their larval stage in the plains in Kansas and Nebraska, and then as adult winged insects fly up into the high country and become part of the diet of grizzly bears. When we think about Yellowstone, or some visitors might think that the animals kind of stay inside of the line as if there's a fence around it, but that's very much not the case. Most of the animals move in and out seasonally.
I wonder if you can describe some of the paintings that you have done and how it is that you are sort of exploring this issue of those invisible boundaries.
Yeah, one image in the show is of a hybrid of a bison and a cow. It's like a two-headed monster, and each is pulling the opposite direction. And in the middle, there's a piece of barbed wire that's sort of been broken off. So the idea behind that work is that, you know, we live in a hybrid world where the interests of humans and the interests of wilderness kind of need to work together.
And you have a book that's coming out that's kind of exploring a lot of our compulsion to impose order.
If I can ever complete it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, where's it at?
It's about 2 years behind. Uh-huh. But there's a chapter about Yellowstone, and part of it's about the park boundary, part of it's about other naming questions about, for instance, whether or not to name natural features like waterfalls in the park, because some people argue that it's nicer to have blank spaces on the map and not have, you know, words all over the map, because it gives the impression that there's more wilderness without names. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it's, I think even after I complete the book, hopefully the inquiry will continue in different ways.
That was Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards speaking with artist and author James Prozek.